It's our privilege to have one of our missionaries home with us, Brother Mullins. I'm going to ask Brother Mike Mullins to be coming on up and getting ready to speak to us tonight. Brother Mullins, I don't know how much he'll tell us, but of course they've had this thing worldwide, and they were just about under house arrest over there in Chile. We're proud of Brother Mullins, graduated our college, doing a great job as our missionary. We're glad to have him home here for a few days. Glad he could make it home. I think he flew all around the world trying to get here. But we're glad to have him. Brother Mullins, come on and speak to us tonight, please.
Yes, sir. Well, amen. Good to be with you this evening. It's morning somewhere, isn't it? I tell you, I've been preaching every week for 17 years, and I still get nervous when Pastor Carter's behind me. We flew in from South America the other day, and we did have a difficult time getting here. It's terrible flying these days, and the coronavirus has got everybody all messed up, right? And what's normally a 9-hour flight, and they wanted to turn it into a 24-hour flight, and then they said they weren't even sure they could get us there then. And so by the time we got to Miami, I told Marta, I said, let's just rent a car and drive up. It's only like a four and a half hour drive. And that's what we did, and we probably cut off 15 hours of fly time by doing that. They wanted to fly us from Miami to Dallas-Fort Worth and then have a big layover there and then fly us back to Orlando. And it was just, it's something else. But anyway, it's good to be here. We don't get to come very often, and we love coming. And Marta and I, we're both graduates of the college here, and most of you, many of you, I guess, know us. We launched out about 15 years ago and started our first church. And I tell you, the Lord's been so good. And those years seem like they just fly by. I mean, they just fly by. I'm going to turn 50 years old this year. I know I look much younger, don't I? Amen. But the years just really, they just fly by. And we've got a great work going down in Chile. We've been down there, well, going on 10 years, I guess. And the church is very established. I wanna kind of go back, and because of time, I wanted to really give you a good update what's been going on for the past year in our work in our country. I wanted to preach to you a little bit too. I don't know if I can do both of them. I'll try to do a little something here. Last year, what you need to understand is that everything can change in one day.
Right.
In one day. I mean, literally, it can change. Everything was going well in Chile. The work was going well. The country was just thriving. The past 25 years, the country of Chile has just excelled in the economy. The best economy in all of Latin America, Chile. And made a lot of other countries jealous, by the way, also. And over the past 3 or 4 years, a lot of extranjeros, foreigners, started coming into the country. A lot from Colombia and a lot from Venezuela. And, you know, Colombia and Venezuela have a lot of problems, drug cartel type problems, corruption. And so we started getting a lot of these foreigners down there. Now, with all the problems with Maduro in Venezuela, a lot of people started coming to Chile. I mean, a lot. I mean, there's a lot of Venezuelan people in Chile now. And that started really changing a lot of the city. And Santiago is the capital, is where we're at. It's a very large city, somewhere between 7 and 8 million people. And so it's much bigger than the city of Chicago. I think Chicago's 4.5 million, 5 million or something. So it's a lot bigger than Chicago. So it's a huge city, Santiago. And the crime really got really bad over the past few years. Lots of robberies and armed robberies and muggings and just everything you can think of. The drug problem there just grew. Corruption in the police, corruption in the military. You might just as likely get robbed by someone from the police department than some drug addict. But just terrible. The crime just soared right through the roof. Killings all the time. And then they've got all these groups down there. You have to understand a little bit about the country of Chile. The end of World War II, you had a lot of German SS soldiers that really escaped from Germany, and they went to Argentina and Peru, or not Argentina and Chile, the south of Chile, the south of Argentina. And so you've got a lot of their descendants. And so Chile has a lot of communism. There's three parties in the country of Chile. You have a Democratic Party, you have a Socialist Party, you have a Communist Party. And in what we would call the Senate there in Chile, you have all three of those represented. So you have communist senators, you have socialist senators, and then you have democratic senators. And what's happened is the socialists and the Democrats have kind of merged together almost, and they really just call themselves the Socialist Democratic Party. And inside that, you have a couple of different branches. You have the more conservative, and then you have the more liberal. And the more liberal kind of sides more with the communist side. And so communism has always been an underground problem there in Chile and in Argentina. Chile, we had a socialist dictator that took over the country back in the 70s and run everything for about 25 years and killed anybody that had anything to say about it. Well, they regained their democracy, as it were, but all these hidden hands and hidden groups are still there. And they're always causing problems. And they're always wanting to take back control, especially the communists. Man, they're always wanting to take back control. And last year in October, about the middle of the month, just from one day to the next, we were almost in the middle of a civil war down there. These groups, they're very united. They're very organized. And they've got a lot of people backing them financially. And they're really just terrorists. And they attacked the city of Santiago, which is the capital. And the very first thing they did, the first two nights, they bombed, destroyed all of the metro stations throughout the city. This is a city like New York. I mean, it's just metros everywhere. And that's what the people use to get around the city, for the most part. The metros are just packed every day, people going to work, coming home from work. And so they destroyed all of the metro lines. I couldn't believe it. Firebombed them, every one of them, just destroyed all of it. And then they started burning down supermarkets and looting the supermarkets. Now, these people, they're so organized, they were able to get thousands, even hundreds of thousands of people with them, college kids, people that are just disgruntled, and people just didn't have nothing else to do but get out there and fight with them and protest with them. And it progressed so rapidly. It turned into a big warfare in the middle of the streets. And it got so bad, they had to declare martial law and shut down the entire country, put everybody in their homes. It was so dangerous. They were fighting in the streets, killing each other. I'd never seen anything like it. Bonfires in the middle of the streets. 90% of the red lights in the city of Santiago weren't working. Vandalism everywhere. Robins everywhere. All of the supermarkets were looted. In the area that we live at, we have one, two, three, four supermarkets close to us. All of them were looted, stole everything out of the supermarkets, and one of them burnt to the ground. Thousands of supermarkets looted throughout the country, throughout the city. Hundreds burnt to the ground. I mean, I couldn't believe the level of violence and chaos. Pharmacies, banks, just destroyed everything, just burned everything up and just stole everything. Criminals. And I tell you, it was so bad. Killings all the time, people shooting guns in the streets. They would go to the police stations and firebomb the police stations. They'd pull up and find the police stations and jump out with machine guns and just fill the police station full of bullets. It was just crazy. I'd never seen anything like it. And just from one day to the next, it just completely went upside down. I'm from a little town in North Florida, you know. I'd never seen anything like that before. We were scared to death. Everybody was scared to death. They didn't know what was going to happen. And the police, of course, they started retaliating. The military took control of the streets. And then the military started killing people. And then the outcry of people getting hurt and people getting killed, so they switched from real bullets to rubber bullets. And these rubber bullets, when they hit you, they put your eye out. And they had hundreds of people that were blinding. It was all over the news. And it amazes me of how little of the news that you really get here in the United States of what's happening around the world. I just can't believe it. You don't hear nothing but what the Republicans said about the Democrats, or what Nancy Pelosi said about Donald Trump. That's all you get here. You might get a little bit of the news, but there's so much that you don't get. I'll give an example of that. Now, be honest with me. How many of you heard that just a few months ago that the president of Bolivia had to flee for his life to Mexico because the military had done a coup and took the country over and put somebody else in charge? How many heard that? Put your hand up. He's still running for his life. The president of Bolivia. That's how little of news you get here in this country. You get nothing but political guru. And all the stuff that's taking place around the world, you just don't get it. And we were just under attack down there, and people were dying all over the place. And I couldn't believe that the United States, nobody was hearing nothing about it. They began to shut down the news stations there in Chile.
and telling the reporters what they could say and what they couldn't say. And if you didn't go along with it, you didn't have a job anymore. And a lot of them left because they wanted to speak out against the injustice. The military began to do what they always do, and that's interrogate, torture. And so they had started these torture rooms. They'd bring people in there and torture them, trying to get information to find out who's running these organizations, these groups, causing all the problems. It was just a terrible situation. And gunshots every night. I mean, all in the streets every night. Before the martial law was instituted, we would go to church. We'd come back from church, especially at nighttime. It was very dangerous. We would come back from church, and the streets would be full of bonfires. And nobody comes out. The streets would be full of bonfires, and there's thousands of people out there in the streets. Rocks and sticks and guns and just crazy stuff. I mean, they'll mess your car up and throw rocks at your car, and just a lot of crazy stuff. It's a crazy world that we live in, and it's getting worse all the time. And that started about the middle of October and went all the way through for the next couple of months to about the middle of December. It's funny that come Christmas time, it started calming down a little bit, huh? Christmas and New Year's. And the whole time they were saying, it's gonna get back again after summer. We're going to get back to it. And they're passing out flyers all over town. And it's all organized. And it's just a terrible situation. And we didn't really know what to do. And there was so much violence. It's a shame. I just never seen anything like that. We were the first night that we were here, we were over at Mr. and Mrs. Bunch's, and they invited us over to have dinner. And we were sitting at the table there, and we were talking, and the ice machine on the refrigerator dropped a couple of nuggets. And I thought it was gunfire. I told Marta, get down. Yeah. We're a little bit spooked out, you know. But things are a little bit better. I'm not joking. I'm serious. Am I serious? Yeah. It's a little bit better over there now. The coronavirus has really kind of calmed things down. And in a sense, it was really to our benefit, because if not, it's no telling where we would be at now with the situations over there. But that type of stuff, it's not over. I mean, they're still there. They still want control. They want to take the Constitution out. They want to change the Constitution. And there's no telling what they want to put in there. And they're about to get the votes in the Senate to do that. And so they're going to change the Constitution. And they probably want to put all kind of crazy stuff in there. I don't know. But it's a difficult situation. After the new year, we had been saving for years to try to build in our church. And we had outgrown the facility that we were in now. We owned that property. And we wanted to kind of do it in two phases. We wanted to build the back part, and then we wanted to build the front part. We were a little bit nervous because we didn't want anything to happen, you know, to the property. And we'd been robbed several times, the church has. Most everybody in the church had been mugged or robbed at one time. It's a dangerous city. And I don't say stuff like that a lot because I don't want to discourage anybody to be a missionary. But I don't know anywhere in Latin America that's what you would call safe, especially if you're in a big city. But after the new year, I told Marta, I said, let's just do it right now. Let's build that back part right now because we really need it. And the bathrooms were all in bad shape. We didn't have enough classrooms. We didn't have a decent kitchen. Roof was falling in, leaking water. It was just in really bad shape. And we had saved enough money to do that. And so January the 2nd, we started a building program, and it went all the way through to the end of February. In 2 months, we built that whole back part. And we had anywhere from 8 to 16, 17 men working at one time. And we got all that built, and it's a blessing to us too. But the sad part is about the time we were getting done, the coronavirus was really starting to get bad, and then they shut everything down. We right before they shut everything down, curfew-wise, we had, I mean, like 2 weeks before, we'd had a baptismal service, and we baptized 5 people, and then 2 weeks later, we were in curfew. And so Marta and I, we've been locked in our home for over a month. And you can't come out of your home. And the strange thing is down there is they don't have a constitution like you and I have here in the United States, or like you guys have. And so they shut all the churches down by order of the president. Yeah, you can't have church. Every Catholic church, everything, shut them all down. And they're still shut down. You can't have church over there. And so you say, that's not right. Yeah, I don't think it's right neither, but they can do that there. They do what they want to do, you know. And so we weren't allowed to have church, and so we started, you know, doing our services online, like many people here in the States. And we've been kind of doing that. And so the curfew, it looks like, the quarantine looks like it's going to probably go all the way through the winter, because it's going into the winter months now, and viruses normally are escalated during the winter months anyway. And so we were figuring that the curfew and the problems were going to excel right on in through the into the winter months. Now, in the city of Santiago, they have 21,000 coronavirus cases in the city of Santiago right now. And that's not a lot compared to some other places around the world, but it's enough to make some people do some pretty crazy stuff. And that's what we're dealing with. And it's all shut down. And like this morning, I came to Sunday school, the adult Sunday school class, and then I left and we went back and I preached to the church in Chile. And we had about 120, 130 people that viewed the preaching online this morning. And sometimes we have over 300. And so it's effective, man. And but we're doing that to try to, you know, maintain our people, maintain our church, and be a support to them and maintain contact with them. And it's just a difficult time. It's a crazy world that we live in. And preachers preaching, I mean, the past month we've been listening to a preacher on the internet, you know, preaching out of Revelation and preaching about the virus and all the problems and the manipulation that's going on around the world. And there is a lot of that going on. Huh? And we're definitely in those times. We're looking for the sky to split open and Lord Jesus to step out and come back for his church. Amen. And I hope he comes back soon. But there's also probably a little bit of a selfish side that says, Lord, I still want to live a little bit more. I still want to do a little bit more for you, you know. And so you're kind of in that balance there. But I tell you, I can't believe the depravity of man, how cruel people can be, you know. You wouldn't believe the safeguards that you have here in this country. I mean, you wouldn't, the laws, how they protect you and they help you and they sustain you and they maintain your families. I tell you, it's not like that all over the world. It's not like that. I mean, it can get dangerous very quickly the moment you step out of the United States of America. It really can. And even here in the country, don't think that everything is secure. Because it can change from one day to the next. They'll just come in and take your rights and lock you up and do what they want to do. The Constitution that we value so much for all these hundreds of years, they can take that from you. They can change that. Somebody's going to do that pretty soon anyway. Isn't it? The man of sin, huh? when he comes on and say, he's going to do that anyway, you know? But the world... Health Organization and the human rights activists and all that, they really began to you know, cause a stink about what was going on down there in Chile and try to get it out a little bit more, and talking about the corruption and the abuse of power by the police and by the military. But what can you do when there's 50,000 people in the center of your city just destroying everything, stealing everything? What can you do? The only way you stop them is you got to go in there and kill 400 or 500 of them. And what's going to happen when you do that? And then they're going to try to label you and your country and your leadership as some kind of genocide. Yeah. And so you can't really stop them when there's numbers like that. They had the biggest protest in the history of the country the 1st of November. You know how many people was in the protest in the center of Santiago? 1.5 million people. 1.5 million people. 1.5 million people want to fight with the police. 1.5 million people want to fight with the military. 1.5 million people that wanted to rob and pillage and destroy. I never seen anything like it. It was something else. Seeing it on the news is one thing. Driving through it is another thing. It's right there in your neighborhood. It's right there in your face. Quite a few people got killed on both sides, the military side and on the civilian side. And we've seen, maybe some of you may have seen it, they had a video of it, police vehicle that got pinned in, surrounded by about 600-700 people. Around the vehicle, a mob of people, crazy, just crazy, attacking the vehicle, sticks and rocks and banging. And this is like an armored police vehicle. And I don't know how they did it, but they got that door open. And they dragged them two guys out and they killed both of them. This is a terrible situation. Right there in the city of Santiago. And I tell you, we need your prayers, you know. We really do. We need your prayers down there. Yeah. And I don't normally say a lot of this stuff because I don't want to discourage nobody from being a missionary. I think that God needs more missionaries. Amen. And I think if he's called you, he's gonna protect you. He's gonna provide for you, you know. But to think that bad stuff is not gonna happen, you know, you'd be fooling yourself. You got to be careful. Just a few months ago, you probably seen the missionary that went to Africa. He was on the field 1 week and got shot in the head and killed. Y'all hear about that? Missionary in Africa? Yeah. It happens all the time. Just you never hear about it. You see, it never makes the news because it's not important.
Yeah.
Huh? Other stuff is. They tell you what they want you to know. Yeah. It's a form of brainwashing, really. They tell you what they want you to know. Let me read a verse to you. You got your Bibles. Open up with me to the book of Romans. I don't know how much time I got here. But the Lord has blessed our work down there. We've seen so many saved. My language has come along tremendously. I speak pretty decent Spanish now. And been preaching for a long time in it. And when we first got started, I couldn't read three words. Yeah. And didn't even read them correctly. And the Lord has given me so much grace, patience, to try to learn the language and do pretty good with it now. And it's not perfect. You can tell that if you're a Spanish speaker, it's not perfect. But people seem to like it. Amen. A lot of folks getting saved. A lot of folks getting baptized. And the church is growing. And they seem to love us. They hadn't run us off yet. And so we are enjoying what God's called us to do. We've had some difficult times, but we believe that we're making a difference. Amen? Let me read a verse to you here in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. It's a very well-known verse, Romans 8, 28. And it's a verse that has a lot of meaning to me. It's a verse that I've heard preached on many times. And I can remember someone preaching on this verse when I was very young. And how it really got my attention, caught my heart. Verse 28 of the book of Romans, chapter 8, the Bible says, "And we know." The we is God's people. That's you and I tonight. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." If I could just take a couple of minutes, there's three words in here that I'd like to point out to you. And the first word is the word purpose. You know, I believe that a man that doesn't have a purpose in life is a wandering soul. Right. It doesn't have direction. Doesn't have his feet on sure ground. When you don't have a purpose, you're going to go from one thing to the next thing. Right. You're going to move here and you're going to move there. You're going to have this job and you have that job. You have this family and you have that family. People that don't have purpose. You know, I believe that God wants us to have purpose in our life. I believe God wants us to make a difference, amen, in this world. The Bible says that we're lights in a dark world, and it is a dark world, friends. It is a dark world. And we need to have some purpose. I think that purpose will motivate you and push you and encourage you to do things that you might not have been able to do in your own strength. I believe that God gets in that, and he works through you. He strengthens you. He gives you the ability to do the things that you couldn't have done on your own. I went to the mission field at 40 years old. I didn't speak a lick of Spanish. I couldn't even say bathroom in Spanish. I'm serious. God gives you the ability to do things that you wouldn't have been able to do on your own. And I met Marta here in Bible college, and we've been married, it'll be 17 years this year. And 15 years ago, we launched out and started our first church. Now, who would have ever believed that this little redneck from North Florida would have been a church planter? Not only in the United States, but halfway around the world. I would have never believed that. Huh? I remember going to school back in the early 80s. Huh? Middle school. Middle school was rough in the early 80s. I don't know what it's like these days. It was rough back then. You only had to do three things good. Arm wrestle, dip Copenhagen, and fist fight. And you can make it through middle school. They talk about bullies. Man, everybody was a bully back then. It was probably a bunch of bullies that went over there and whooped the Germans.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
God will give you some purpose. Amen. And I remember being young. I needed some purpose in my life. I came here to this Bible college. I sat under this man right here, and God gave me purpose. He put something in my heart, a desire to do something for him. I can remember that after I got saved and I came to Landmark, just very quickly after I got saved, I knew that God wanted me to preach. I just knew that he was going to use me in that area. I wasn't sure exactly what, an evangelist, a missionary, a pastor. I had a shaky past. I come from a bad family. I had a bad upbringing. Yeah. I won't get into all that. I don't want to scare you. But, man, I had a rough start in life. And I don't blame nobody, you know. I don't blame nobody. But I had a rough start in life. I come from some serious alcoholic family parents, you know, and it was rough.
Yes.
And we didn't have no food when we was kids. And we was dirty and wasn't taken care of. Hey, God brought me out of all that. Amen.
Yeah.
Saved my soul. Amen. Put me on a solid rock. Amen.
Goodbye.
And I ain't looked back. Amen. It's been a lot of years now. And God gave me purpose.
Amen.
And I believe that you need some kind of purpose in your life. Amen. Because if you don't have a purpose in your life, you're not going to get anything accomplished. You don't want to get into that routine of life. And it's just another day. It's just another service. It's another year of life.
Yeah.
No, find something that's going to motivate you.
Right.
Amen. Hey, we're in God's work. We're in the last days. Preacher said we're in that Laodicean church age. We're in the last days before the Son of Man comes.
Yeah.
That's pretty exciting, isn't it? Huh? There's a lot of lost souls out there. Do something for God. Do something for God.
Amen.
You don't have to be special. You don't have to be important. You don't have to have any influence. I don't have none of that. Amen? But God uses me.
Amen.
And you got to have purpose. Now look at this verse here. Purpose. Look at another word here. Called.
Amen.
Called. And first of all, in one sense, we're all called in the sense that we're all Christians. Amen? God has called us to be His children. Amen? And you accept that, and you receive Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But even above that, there's another calling to do something even more for Him. You could be called to be a lot of things. You could be called just to be a Sunday school teacher. You could be called to be a deacon in this church.
Right.
You could be called to be a pastor. You could be called to be a missionary. Amen? I believe that everybody has some kind of calling in their life.
Amen.
I mean, something that God wants them to do that nobody else could do but them. And it might be some small, little, meaningless something that you think is not very important but could have very big ripples.
Yeah.
Really, it could. And see, you have to have a purpose and you have to seek that calling in your life, what God wants you to do. It may be in your own children. Maybe it's one of your children that's going to go on to do something great. It might not be you. It might be your children. It might be your son. It might be somebody in your Sunday school class. It might be someone that comes in this church and gets saved that you never thought would amount to nothing. They probably thought that about Charles Spurgeon too when he got saved. And look what all he done. The ripple effect. Calling on your life. I remember when God called me, and I said yes very quickly because I was hoping He would. I was ready and waiting because I'd already had purpose in my heart. Young preacher boy, wanting to get out and do something for God. You know, we've been in Chile now for a long time. And I've had a lot of churches offered to me. And I don't want to pat myself on the back for a minute, but I've had a lot of churches offered to me over the past 15 years. And some of them pretty good churches. Some of them pretty good sized churches. I just had a church offered to me last year, running hundreds of people. Pretty good sized church. And pretty good sized salary too. I was impressed. But you know what? If I'm not in the center of God's will, I'm not going to be able to make a difference. You know? If it's not God's will for my life, I'm not going to be able to help those people. We've never left. We've stayed exactly doing what we believe God wants us to do. And it's a difficult field. As you can tell already tonight, it's a difficult field. It's not easy. It's the big city. It's crime. It's robberies. It's prostitution. It's a lot of junk. It's drug addicts. It's drug cartel. It's mafia people. It's corruption. But I tell you what, there in the middle of all of that, there's a lot of souls that need to be saved. There's really a lot of people that want to know and want to hear if you'll go. I'm amazed at how warm the Chileno people really are. I mean, if you really reach out to them, if you really befriend them, if you love them unconditionally, don't just befriend and love the people that are important in the church. When I went to Bible college, and this was just my nature because I came from nothing, I was always for the underdog. I really was. And when I was in Bible college, when I first came here, especially the first few years I was here, we had a lot of international students. And we probably still do. But a lot of, and I was friends with all those guys. Because those guys came from nothing. They come from areas and countries and families. They never had much. But you know what? They had purpose. And they had a calling. And you know, so many of those guys are in the ministry today. Yeah. I'm for the underdog. I believe that God can take a nobody and use him for his glory. You don't have to come from a rich family. You don't have to be the prestigious family in the church. You don't have to be the son of the deacon. Huh? Yeah, you don't have to be all that. God will take you and mold you and shape you and use you in ways you can't even imagine.
Right.
This Bible college has got preacher boys all over the world. And guys that you don't even know that are doing big things for him. Yeah, big things for him. I try to keep in touch with as many of us as possible. Huh? But there's so many more that I don't know. So many more. The influence that Pastor Carter's had on so many lives, it's incredible. Yeah. Calling. You got to have a calling. If you're going to do something for God, you got to have a calling. If you're not called, you're not going to make it.
But.
You're not going to make it. You know how many missionaries I see go to the field and don't make it? A lot. A lot. Because I think they got the wrong perspective.
Yeah.
You know? I think they like the glory to it, but when the rubber meets the road, it's just a lot of hard work. You know, it's a lot of hard work. It's trying to reach people that many times don't want to be reached.
Right.
It's trying to love people that many times don't want to be loved. Huh? Yeah. It's a difficult wheel. It's a difficult world. It's a difficult field. The mission work is not easy. That's probably why there's so few of them. And the missionary work is going down and down and down. The average missionary will look for a safe country. And inside that safe country, he will look for a safe area to be in.
Yeah.
You know that? Now, I don't cast stones at them too much because I understand some of these guys got kids and there's just areas you just don't want to go with your family. The area that we're in Santiago, you will not find any Americans. None. The national pastors tell me, you're crazy. What are you doing in these areas? American missionaries don't come into these areas. Not only do we minister in those areas, we live in those areas. We don't live in the rich area. No. No, we don't live in the rich area. We live in bad areas. Huh? Because it's in the bad areas that need the gospel. See, the rich people, they're high and mighty. They don't need anything. They got money. Huh? It's the bad areas. And in the bad areas, it can be dangerous. I'll be out in front of our church on Sunday morning. Drug addicts walk by. Women of the night walk by. And they all know me. And they'll say, hey, pastor. And they'll go on about their way. I'm serious. Yeah. It's a rough area. It's a rough field. Somebody's got to do it. If somebody doesn't go and tell them, who will? I know a handful of other missionaries in Chile. They're all in very exclusive areas. Outside the city. Yeah. Purpose. Calling. Look at this right here. Verse 28. The Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good. Work together for good. Look at the word good. Work together for good. You know what that tells me? It's not all going to be good. But in the end, it's going to work together for good. That means in the middle of it, you're going to have a lot of bad stuff that happens. You're going to have a lot of rough days. We've had a lot of that the past 8 or 9 months. Ultimately, it's going to work together for good, but it's not all good. It's not all easy. The depravity of man is unbelievable. The wickedness of man is unbelievable. Santiago is an ungodly city. Oh, it's bad. It keeps getting worse. A few months ago, we were driving, coming back from the church. I believe it was the church. And we were in our car, and there was a city bus in front of us. And there was an advertisement on the back of the city bus. It was a cell phone company, WOM. You ever heard of that? WOM, that's what it's called, W-O-W, WOM. Don't ever get them, they a bunch of homos. Listen, in that advertisement, it had two men kissing. I said, Marty, do you see that? On the back of that bus, that's a city bus right there. And look what they're advertising. Look what they're doing. Had two men on there. I said, I'd never ride the city bus again. That's where we're going to. That's the day that we're in. That stuff is accepted all over the place and growing unbelievably. I can't believe it's all over the TV, all over the picture shows, all the malls and the stores, and it's so accepted, and the people walk around holding hands, men and women, and loving on each other like it's okay. I'm like, man, what's going on? Where are we going to? I can't wrap my head around that. I can't understand that is so accepted in the day and time that we live in. God's going to judge that stuff. Right. Understand that, right? It's probably going to get worse before it gets better. But God's going to judge that stuff. Those people, I know it affects a lot of families, and even more in the day and time that we live in. And I know for some people it's a sensitive subject, and I feel bad for you. If it's touched close to home, I really do. And I understand that we can't hate the people, but we do have to hate the sin. I understand that, you know. But in my experience, very few, you might have a different experience, but my experience, very few actually come out of that and get right with God,
right,
and then do something for Him.
Right.
Amen. Most of them just carry on in that depravity. See, that's the nature of man. That's the depravity of mankind. That's Santiago, Chile tonight. It's just overgrown with sin and corruption. The police were robbing people here a few months back around Christmas time. It was all on the news, and they would, in their uniforms, they'd go in the homes at nighttime, and they'd beat on the doors like they were there for something official. They get the people all in the living room with their guns out and get them down on the floor, and they start going through the house and stealing all the jewelry. The police. Yeah. Military last year also was caught in a big giant scandal down there, stealing all kind of money from the government. The military. Leaders in the military. Yeah. The corruption is unbelievable. It's not only in Chile, it's in Argentina. It's in Brazil. It's in Bolivia. It's in Peru, and it's in the United States. It is. That's the day and time we live in. And if God don't come back soon, it's going to get a lot worse.
Right.
You believe that?
Yes.
It's going to get a lot worse.
Yes.
Your freedoms are going to get taken from you one by one. You're going to be forced to accept some stuff that you probably wouldn't have accepted otherwise.
Right.
This gay agenda thing, that makes me sick to my stomach. And I don't like it. But you're being forced to accept it. You know that? Year by year, year by year, it's imposing on you. It's in your mind. Let me tell you what happened. This is a true story. Sometimes I feel bad about it. Most of the time I don't. I was, the other year, a few years ago, well, it's been more than a few years ago, it was before my daddy died. He's been dead 6 years now. I guess probably about seven, eight years ago, we were up at like a family reunion thing up in Palatka. It's up on the St. John's River. Good fishing up there. And I was up there, and we had a family thing going on, and there's two of my brothers there, one of my sisters, my mom and dad, and a couple aunts and uncles, me and Marta, we was all there. And they said they wanted to go out to eat. So I said, well, okay, let's go out to eat. You know, they wanted to go to the Golden Corral. That's pretty good buffet, isn't it? And I don't know if y'all have one around here. They wanted to go to the Golden Corral. So we went all out to the Golden Corral and got in there and sit down. And the waitress come out, and it wasn't a waitress. It was a man. I thought he was a woman. Right then I was put off. Yeah, my appetite just went out. And he gave us the menus and everything. And don't get offended now, please. He gave us the menus and everything. And sometimes, you know, the Bible says that no man can control the tongue. You ever read that in your Bible? Sometimes it just slips out, you know. They had to give us the waitress, and the guy had went off. And I said, forgive me. I said something about that queer, like that. And my sister, she looked at me, and you know what she said? She said, you're supposed to be a preacher. And I was a little bit taken back. And I looked back at her, and I said, you know what the Bible says about that? Yeah. And the whole time I was eating, I was thinking about that. She was offended, I was offended. I was thinking about it the whole time we was eating. I tried not to make a big deal out of it because we was with a bunch of family there. But at the end of the meal. Now, she got a little money. She got a good job. She drives the fancy car. And she's collecting the money for the tip to put on the table. And it's not 10%. Bless God, she gets 15%. Yeah. And so she's collecting. Everybody will pitch in on the tip. And she looked at me. And before I knew what I was doing, I said, I ain't giving a tip to that faggot. I am so sorry. And brother, she got upset. She got upset. Now, you're not supposed to talk like that, you know. And sometimes it just, but that stuff just is appalling to me. I don't like it. And it's getting forced on us. If God don't come back soon, you might be surprised what we have to deal with.
Right.
Yeah. You might be surprised what we have to endure. Yeah. Amen. We're waiting for the rapture. I preached on the rapture the other week to our folks in Chile. Man, it was a great message. I used some of Pastor Carter's verses. It was a great message. Amen. I'm teasing with you some. Only a little bit. You know, I think that God has a lot more souls that he wants to save. And I think that he's going to use ordinary people like you to do it. There just might be someone here, some of you guys from other countries, and that know for sure that God wants to use you in the ministry. And I can tell you that it's not easy. I can tell you that it's going to take a lot of patience, and a lot of work, and a lot of sacrifice. Marta and I was talking the other day, and she said to me, she said, Mike, what do you think our life would have been like if we wouldn't have left Landmark 15 years ago, and we just stayed and served here in the church and got jobs like so many other people have through the years, and just stayed and just been good church members? I thought about that. And I said, well, that might be nice, but it'd be two less churches and a whole lot less souls in heaven. That's what it would have been like. I said, you got any regrets? And she says, no, I was just thinking. I don't have any regrets neither. No, the missionary life is not easy. And there's not a lot of big rewards down here. And you don't get to preach a lot of big conferences. Matter of fact, nobody asked you to come preach. They don't want to pay for that ticket from Latin America, I guess. But, yeah, there's not a lot of glory in it. There's not. There's a lot of sacrifice and a lot of work.
But
you want glory, you better stay here in the United States and pastor a big old church. Don't even start one. It's too much work. Just take over somebody else's work if you want the glory. But if you want to roll up your sleeves and get to work, really do something that's going to make a difference. Church planting. We need Baptist churches.
Amen.
Missionary work. Not a missionary that's going to go and spend 5 years, have an extended vacation, and come back. Not that kind of missionary. I mean, somebody's going to go give 30 years.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have too many of those missionaries anymore these days.
I can't believe. Now, we've been missionary church planters for 15 years. We've been in Santiago for almost 10 years. And I can't believe how many missionaries have come to the field and left the field in the years that we've been there.
Right.
When the going gets tough, they get going. And it's always the same excuse. Somebody's sick. Somebody's dying. They never say, the kid's missing grandma. They never say, we just tired of being here.
Yeah.
They never say, it's just too much work. Huh? Never say, no. It's always sickness. Sometimes it's dangerous, but usually it's some kind of sickness. You know, it's sad because of the day and time we live in, we need more missionaries.
Yeah.
We need men that will sacrifice. And not just go back to your own countries, and sometimes that's good. Go to other countries. Learn a new language. Learn a new culture. Give your life. Have a purpose. Huh? Push away from Cracker Barrel. Huh?
Yes.
I know you like to stay here because of all the good restaurants. That's why we like to come too, by the way. Yeah. They don't have them down there in Chile. I can't even get a box of Raisin Bran down there. Yeah. Can't get good milk. Yeah. Somebody sent us a message a few weeks ago, one of our supporting churches, and they said, Brother Mullins, we want to send you some stuff in a package down there. Tell us what you want. And that don't happen very often, believe me. I said, man, Raisin Bran, Folgers coffee, and peanut butter. Let's keep it simple, amen? We'll even add in some Tylenol. You can't get none of that down there neither. Huh? If you can send some good health insurance down there, that'd be a blessing too. Yeah. It's not about the material things. Some of that stuff's nice to have. We just get accustomed to not having anything. I'm serious. And it makes it all that more special when we come back. Yeah. We've been back just a couple of days. We've already got invited out twice. Yeah. Boy, I'm happy. Huh? Eating good both times. Yeah. My daddy used to say, the best part about eating somebody else's food is it's free.
Amen.
I'm serious. He was that kind of guy. He's just a funny guy. You know, I'm just tickled and honored to be sent out of this church. We're nothing special, and we make all kind of mistakes. I probably made a mistake already up here tonight. We make all kind of mistakes. But I tell you what, we just don't quit.
But
we just keep it going. The church that we got down there in Santiago, it's pretty established now. I've got some good families, and they're faithful too. And it's growing. And we see a lot of folks get saved. We've built the back part of that church. I got a bunch of photos I'll show you if you're interested. And we put a lot of money into it. We put everything we got into it. We only got a little bit of money left over. Nowhere near enough to build the front part that we need. You know, when we were building that church, I'd made a few videos of the construction and stuff like that. And in one of the videos I said this. I said, you know, it's a blessing to be a part of something that God's doing that's going to be here for a very long time.
Yeah.
Because I know that church, I mean, the physical brick and mortar that God allowed us to build there in the city of Santa, I know that church is going to be there until the Lord comes back. If he don't come back in my lifetime, and he just may, we hoping he will, but he may not. I may live my life out and die, and he still not come back. You say, is that possible? Yeah, it's possible. They've been expecting the return of the Lord for hundreds of years, and he still ain't come back.
Right.
The disciples were expecting him to come back in their lifetime, and he didn't come back. Huh? Spurgeon was probably saying the same thing. Oh, he's probably going to come back before I die. Huh? He didn't come back then neither. He may come back now. But he may not. You know, there's all types of weird teachings going on. I like to keep it simple because I'm not the type of guy that knows everything. The Lord's taught me a lot, but I don't know everything. The more I study the Bible, the more I realize I don't know. There's a growing crowd out there, and you've probably read some of this, and you may be into some of this, that believes that we're going to go through the tribulation.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of people out there believing that.
Let me tell you that we ain't.
Amen.
I've studied the Bible with an open mind. I've looked at both sides. Huh? We not appointed to wrath.
Right.
No. We waiting for the sound of the trumpet.
Right.
Hey, I'm with you, preacher, on that. Yeah. And even guys that I know that I think are good guys have kind of went in that direction. Huh?
Yeah.
I guess you're not going to lose your salvation over it. But you might lose some reward over it.
But,
huh? Teaching somebody that's not right. Something that's not right. But anyway, that's a personal thing. Thank you for allowing us to be with you. We're going to be around a little bit. I was supposed to have had a bunch of meetings booked. I had May all booked. I had June all booked. Meetings all through July. Just about everything has been canceled. And so it really hurt me. And we had a bunch of new churches that we were supposed to get into. And it really bothered me because it's so hard to set all that stuff up. Especially new churches. People don't know you. You know, you got to call, and then you got to send packets, and then you got to send information, and then you got to call back again. I mean, it just takes months to get all the whole calendar, a 3-4 month, 5 month calendar set. It takes months to do that. It's a lot of work. And just one day to the next, it's all gone. And I told Marta, I said, well, let's just go anyway, because it looks like we're going to be locked in our home all winter down here in Santiago. I said, let's just go anyway. And so we're going to be here for a few months. Hopefully we'll get to preach out a little bit. And if you see us and we look hungry, we probably are. Bad thing is all the restaurants are closed. Yeah. Let me just tell you this. I know it's time. We flew into Miami the other day, and we get excited about coming back to the United States. I mean, I hadn't preached in English in 2 years. How am I doing? I hope I'm doing all right. Yeah, I hadn't preached in English in 2 years. I told Marta, man, I'm a little bit nervous. I don't know what I'm going to say. And she says, you've got all kind of experience. You'll be okay. Well, thank you. We were coming out of Miami, and I couldn't believe how fast everybody drives. Man, they drive fast here. Yeah. We had that rental car, and I was a little bit nervous. I got out on the interstate, and I had me a McDonald's coffee. I was excited about the McDonald's coffee. You don't get that down there. And I was on Interstate 95 coming out of Miami, and I didn't even see a speed limit sign until I got north of Palm Beach. But the cars were just flying by me. I was like, man, I said, what is the speed limit on this road? And I looked, and I'm doing 80. And they were just whizzing by me. Them people were in a hurry to get somewhere. They drive like that around here? Somebody does. I was following somebody the other day. I couldn't hardly keep up with them. We're excited to be here. Thank you. I want to thank you personally for your faithfulness to this church. I know it's having a difficult time here. I want to thank you for your missions program. It helps guys like me do what we need to do for God.
Amen.
I want to thank you for being so kind to Pastor Carter and letting him stay around for all these years. Amen? He really is making a difference. Amen? 50 years. Wow. 50 years in the same spot. Imagine. That's a lifetime, isn't it? Yeah. I've got a lot of respect for Pastor Carter. I don't get to talk to him too often. He's way up here, you know, and I'm kind of down here. And so I get a little bit nervous, intimidated when I get around him a little bit, you know, try to put on my best personality. Amen. Somebody, he's going to probably say all that stuff you said tonight about the gaze probably wasn't right. You probably right. Forgive me, amen. Forgive me, amen. They need forgiveness too, by the way. But that's the day we're in. That's the time we're in. It's a crazy world. It is. It is. The Lord let us. We're going to spend a couple of months here. And as soon as things get better down there in Chile, they open the churches back up and let us go back. We're gonna go back for a few more years, and just try to do the best we can do. If you're not too scared, and you have a desire to do something for God in the Spanish-speaking world, pray about the country of Chile. You say, but preacher, you just said it was dangerous down there. It's dangerous everywhere. It's dangerous everywhere. That's missions. You know what you do? You just get used to it. You just get used to it. We lay in bed at night and hear them popping them guns off
all throughout the night. You say you get used to that? You just get used to it. You just get used to it. Because what God wants you to do is bigger than the crime and the violence and the danger. It's bigger than that. It's bigger than that. And I remember when I was a young teenager, they used to use that expression, man up. You ever heard that? Just man up. Huh? Just man up. Just man up and go do it. Amen? God will protect you. He will. He's protected us. Thank you, Pastor.
Well, let's stand, please. Think a little bit about what we heard. I'm so proud of Brother Mullins and how God has used him. Knew a little bit about his background. Came here at college and really applied himself, not just in the room, but work scholarship, working around here in town, holding some jobs that were tough. But he had a purpose, and he never quit. And God had a purpose to use him. A little bit of what he described to us tonight, folks, and what he said in one day, how it changed. In a sense, what he's been in is the tribulation period. As far as what's going on in the streets and the danger and corruption. No, we're not going through the tribulation, but this world is in a lot of trouble right now. Not just us here with the virus, but the whole world. And I hope we got a purpose that keeps us focused on what we're supposed to be doing. Still, the most important thing going on is God's service and God's ministry and reaching souls. Amen. Father, we thank you for what we've heard. Lord, how it behooves us to pray for the missionaries, because the news don't get out. We don't hear it accurately. We need to be praying for all of our missionaries and doing all we can to support them. We thank you for the folks that give to missions here and for what we can do. But Lord, the command, the commission, the challenge is bigger than what we're doing. We know that. We thank you for Brother Mullins, for Mike and Martha. We thank you how you've used them. May you continue to protect them and protect the church while they're here, the good people, the souls that they've reached. We pray that you would just take care there on the field. May you be in our midst of our congregation, and especially in our college. Lord, when we heard Brother Mullins tonight, we thought about the struggle of keeping a college open through these years. But Father, when we look and see what you've done with it, we know it was your plan, and your goal was for just exactly what we heard tonight, to train young men to see them go out and make a difference. May you bless the invitation tonight, Father. In the invitation, Lord, I just ask the folks to, let's do something special tonight. Let's just come to the altar as much as we can and pray for our missionaries. We don't know what shape many of them are in. We heard the description tonight, and that's true in Chile, but it's true in so many other places. And Father, help us not to be guilty to not pray for our missionaries. Tonight, if there's one here unsaved, we'd be so glad to tell them how to be saved. We send a missionary around the world to tell others. Be glad to tell them here tonight and show them how they'd be saved and know it. But help us, Father, as your church, to not only be a giving church to missions, but praying for our missionaries. Bless the invitation now and speak to our hearts deeply tonight, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing, would you do that? Would you pray now for our missionaries in a special way? I pray you will.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily. I surrender all. blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, make me Savior wholly Thine. May Thy Holy Spirit fill me, may I know Thy power divine.
Mullins didn't pull any punches with us tonight. He said it was hard work, said it was dangerous. But he had the purpose. God had called him, and obeying the call and having a purpose. There's a strong church over there in the midst of all the chaos and crime and everything else. He sat right here on these pews with us. He went to our college. He worked around here. I never forget the first time he showed up, sitting about the third pew. Said, I've been listening to you on the radio, and I got saved. And I came, and I believe you got baptized here, didn't you, Brother Mullins, or not? Can't remember. Yes or no? Lee Reno, yeah, all right. Brother Lee was going down there and having the services. And I remember what Brother Mullins said to me when I went back there and shook hands. He said, I've been listening to you on the radio, and I can't believe you're as tall as you are. I'm not all that tall, but he had in mind something less. Anyway, but he meant business for the Lord.
Amen.
Meant business for the Lord.
Amen.
And proved that with us, and still proving it. Amen.
Amen.
Hope you'll find him tonight and shake hands with him and he and Martha and let them know you're praying for him. And they are going to be around a few days because he's had his meetings pretty much canceled with all this virus business and all that. That's tough, but you pray for him. God will provide. Amen. All right, we have John and Pat Saban. Y'all stand up here with me, Brother John. These folks have been our friends from a long time back, used to be members, and they're wanting to move their membership back with us. And so we're glad to have them come in tonight. Amen. So we have a motion to receive them and as members, and God bless you. Show of hands and so care. Good to have you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. You can come by and shake hands with them also if you get a chance here tonight. All right. God bless you. Let's go ahead and be dismissed. Amen.